are living in an artificially induced state of consciousness that resembles sleep. The poor and the underclass are growing. Racial justice and human rights are non-existent. We have been lulled into a trance. They have made us indifferent to ourselves, to others. We are focused only on our own gain. That is their primary method of survival. Keep us asleep, keep us selfish, keep us sedated.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here's your host, Michael Storm.
Welcome to Toward Anarchy. Thank you so much for joining me. I am Michael Storm, and as always, it's a pleasure to be here every Sunday live worldwide across the Republic Broadcasting Network. Go to towardanarchy.com to follow along. I told you over the last few weeks that I was getting back into the groove. I'm going to get back into my thing, doing my thing, and not just sort of hanging out and slacking off, I guess you could say. And I spent the last couple of weeks putting a bunch of effort into lining up a whole bunch of shows and having a whole bunch of guests on various topics, different things. And the easiest way to follow along to keep up with this, what's going on, is to go to towardanarchy.com. I try to keep it all up there. It's all right in there somewhere. Ways to find me, ways to stay in touch with the show, ways to reach the network, Republic Broadcasting Network, ways to listen to new commercial free episodes of the show after they've aired live. They eventually find their way up onto the website and across all the major streaming platforms. My conversation with Michael Howell, my good friend and author Michael Howell, last week, fantastic conversation. That's available now up there at towardanarchy.com and across all the major streaming platforms. It's great that we've been able to force our way into some of those places. It's tough to keep up with them. It's really kind of a bit of a game that we end up playing, trying to keep up with all of the different streaming services. If you want to be on the major ones, it's kind of frustrating, and that's really what it is. It's ultimately frustrating trying to get them to. It's real weird because all the information that they get, all the information that they have for the stream, including the stream itself, it comes from one place. It's all in one place. It's all in one file. I maintain that file. It's perfectly formatted. It works on every streaming platform except the ones that it doesn't work on when it doesn't want to work on them. And it's just the weirdest thing. The images, they don't match up yet. They only get that image from one place. How is that possible? Streams can be behind. That makes sense if they don't go and parse the XML file. That's geek language. Don't worry about it. If they don't come and look for the new files only ever so often, then that would happen. There could be a gap. But I've been fighting with the Odyssey now. Odyssey is one of the big new ones that came along not too long ago. And for some reason, they can't keep my podcast in place. The rebroadcast version of the show. And I've had this happen with other ones too, but here it is. Here's the file. Here's the information. It's all right there. If you were to click on any other one, if you went to Apple Podcasts, you'd see right there the latest one, author Michael Howell. He's right there, but not in other places. Oh, it's just a frustrating technology thing. Just one of the many things to deal with on as well as trying to come up with ideas and things that keep me interested that I think you might be interested in, and then go out and find the people that can talk about those things. And so that's what I've spent the better part of the last couple of weeks doing when I'm not running the comic book store, running kids to and from school. I've been in contact with different folks all over the world about different topics and coming on the show and talking about them. Next week, author J.B. Hilliard will be on the show. He is a he's authored a series called the Warminster series, but then he also does a number of other things, including the thing that I found most interesting, and I hope that we'll get to spend a better part of the hour that we spend together talking about, and that's his work helping other people get their stories brought to print. And it's different ways to do it, and of course we'll dive into that with him next week. We'll certainly get as much of it as we can, and as always, the links will be there at towardanarchy.com. When you go there to look for these shows, or you hear the show later off of one of the streaming services or something like that, when I suggest that you go to towardanarchy.com, you can find, if you're able to hear the stream, if you're able to hear it, then you're able to go to the page where the stream is actually coming from and find all the links and information about the people that I talked about during that episode, just by, you know, finding it. It's May 14th in my world right now, and so if you go to towardanarchy.com, if it's not right there on the front page, if you don't see Elizabeth Mikotowicz at the top of the page, click on the episodes button, find 2023, it shouldn't be that hard, and May, and you will eventually, if you know the date, if you catch the date in the episode, you'll eventually be able to find your way to where it's at there, and you'll see the links, and those will always be there. That information will always be there. So if we don't cover a specific thing, if you want to know more about the guest, you know, we're time limited, we're commercial limited in terms of we can get into something and be interrupted by a commercial and then sort of forget or not have time to come back to it, whatever that may be, you can always go and find that more about the guest and the things that they're into by just going to towardanarchy.com and searching for those links, looking for the name. There's a search. There's even a search in there. If you're not exactly sure, maybe you just know the guest's name, you can click on the search and search through the episodes. If you were to search for Michael Howell, my guest last week, you would see that he has been on the show a number of times over the years, and there are multiple episodes that you can listen to with Michael and with his wife, Melissa, and just all of those great, fantastic conversation, but just more proof that the whole thing works, and it's all up there, and you can always follow along, and any of the information, any of the things that I share are going to be findable at that address. We're trying to get connected with Elizabeth right now. I'm trying to confirm her ID so we can get connected on Skype. Okay, she called in. Did we catch her on the phone then? I'm catching her here. She says she called in. So we'll see if we get her thrown in here into the conversation real quick. It was my fault. I did a weird thing where I didn't confirm oh yeah, no, there's no link. I see. That's what she was expecting. There's no link. Okay, let's see. No problem. there's no link like that. You just connect. We just connect. Okay. Yeah, I get that, because a lot of times there are people who they don't have a network thing, for one. They don't have a network going on to help them manage their stuff. They just sort of create an episode and create a link and then send that link to their guest, and their link can just jump on by whatever means that the system that they're using happens to offer. That's not the way it works around here. This is classic radio. You got to call us on the phone or connect with the studio ultimately in one way or another. So it's old school, right? That's what it is. So we'll get Elizabeth connected. And as I was saying, you can go to towardanarchy.com. You can look for May 14th. And you will see that Elizabeth is going to be my guest and that she's been a victim of political and social opinion. She was sentenced to federal prison for nonviolent drug charges. And, of course, in prison, she witnessed the worst of what America is, what America has become, the worst of the land of the free. She endured abuse herself and saw it as well, the corruption, racism, there's just the cruelty of being incarcerated in the land of the free, and she's come out the other side of it. You know, she's been a victim of people and a victim of the system over the years, and she on the outside of it, she's come out the other end of it, and she has been a stronger person, and now she works as she speaks as a voice for those who are still trapped in that for-profit industrial prison complex, and working with lawmakers to make some changes and affect change. And that's not all. While she was inside, she was able to concentrate on her art and turn that into something of a profitable and environmentally helpful, conscious business, an artistic clothing line specifically for women. That's something that I provided a link for there at towardanarchy.com. If you look for May 14th, you can jump right in there and you will find the link to her environmentally friendly clothing brand called the EPM. And I believe we have her connected now, Elizabeth Mikotowicz. Did I actually pronounce that right?
Yes, you did. Mikotowicz. Awesome. Very good.
Okay, a little hard on the O's. I got that. I wondered. I thought about going that direction. That's awesome. It's great to talk to you. Thank you for reaching out to me and telling me about your story and wanting to bring it here for my audience. I think that it's something that they need to hear. I know you had the link that I shared to the website, and so you may have seen that quote there from Nelson Mandela. No one truly knows a nation until one has been inside its jails. A nation should not be judged by how it treats its highest citizens, but its lowest ones. And boy, that certainly speaks to your situation, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. You know, 70% of women that are incarcerated have some sort of domestic violence or sexual assault in their history before they even go to jail. I mean, we are really a nation of criminals that have been failed by the system. And, you know, people don't wake up and just want to break the law. You know, they become so desperate and have exhausted all other options. You know, and they're backed into a corner, and that's what happened to me. I was in my 20s. I was a young single mom, and I ended up dating this really abusive guy who assaulted me to the point my skull was showing, and I had never done drugs before that. And when they had to sew the muscle back, then they had to sew the skin back, and I started getting seizures as a result of this head injury. So my children were no longer safe with me. And, you know, that was one of the hardest things, like, I had to come to terms with, because there was nothing I could do about it. And when I tried to refuse the opiate from the doctors, they said because the amount of pain I was in, it kept making my blood pressure skyrocket and it was bad for the baby. So, and you know, now we know that opioids, all they do is make the pain receptors in your brain more sensitive. So when you come off of it, you're in 10 times the amount of pain as you was in. You know, this is all big pharma, you know, profiting off of the suffering of the American people. And then they gaslit us and decided, no, it's their fault. It's the addict's fault. We're going to lie about the effects of these drugs. And then we're going to make a killing when they go to rehab, which have 94% failure rates. And when, you know, a friend of mine, he got his nephew got kicked out of rehab for drinking a cup of coffee in the wrong part of the rehab. And then they kick him out and it's a $30,000 no refund. And then they just fill that spot. You know, this is free money to them. This is all one, you know, free money to them. These rehabs need to be held accountable as well, because there's no proven, you know, data that they actually work. you know, 94% failure rate, and you got people paying, you know, $30,000, just minimum. And, you know, so the abuse got worse, you know, my situation got worse. I was in public housing, and because the cops showed up to bring me to the hospital, you know, the last final showdown, I lost public housing for it. And
oh, sure.
So once you lose public housing, you can't get any vouchers. You can't get any help. They say you screwed up. And even though I didn't screw up, I had a man come into my house and assault me and refuse to leave and then get into a high-speed chase with the cops and everything. And I went to Spruce Run, the battered women's shelter in Bangor, Maine. They've rebranded themselves to be Partners for Peace. They turned me away with two beds open. They said that my injuries were so extensive and that my situation was so dangerous it put the other women in the shelter in danger. The girl got the bed lived in the same public housing as me, and she was getting evicted for partying too much. The guy didn't even hit her. He kicked her car. And while, yes, that is domestic violence, you know, intimidation and destroying property, compared to my situation where I would have died if I hadn't gone to the hospital, you know, and I was lucky, you know, the injuries after, that I still feel, you know, it's like 17 years later, and I still feel those injuries from that man. And I still have to, you know, fight this addiction that, you know, was forced on me by doctors and, you know, deal with the trauma of it. And so that was like rock bottom for me. I had made a deal with my father that if the battered women's shelter wouldn't help me, that I would sign my kids over to him because, you know, I couldn't take care of them most of the time anyway because I was having seizures. And, you know, they were little and you have to be present with little kids, and I was going into seizures and going deaf and blind and falling out for moments at a time.
My God.
You know, not even knowing how long I was out for. So, you know, to really face that, my children weren't safe with me because of what he did to me. It was awful. And eventually, you know, because I was so hardened from the trauma of what he did and I was so desperate, you know, drug dealers helped me. They gave me places to stay. I was homeless now. They gave me, you know, drugs to sell on the street, which I was tough enough to do because of all the trauma I had gone through. And I eventually caught charges in 2011 for drugs. And when my first week at Somerset County, I witnessed an entire pod of women get stripped out because they signed up for a razor. And the male sergeant wanted a list of who shaved their vaginas and who didn't. That's what they're doing to women. This is the PG stuff they are doing to women. And they're getting away with it every day. Like, I mean, and, you know, the first thing people say, I had conservative women telling me, well, if you don't want to get raped by cops, don't go to prison.
Mm.
Well, just say you're okay with cops being predators because you're six times more likely to get sexually assaulted by them than you are civilians. And, you know, I watched a woman go into labor, and they weren't going to take her to the hospital. They told her if this, and the only reason they did is because we all banded together and threatened a riot. Like, they did not want to deal with 30 women flipping out because, you know, a woman was in labor on the jail pod. Like, you are not going to let this baby be born in a jail cell. And they told that girl who was in labor, if it was a false alarm, she'd be going into solitary. They were going to punish her for it. So, I mean, for all of you mothers out there, I want you to imagine, like, your first time being pregnant, you know, you get Braxton Hicks. You have false alarms. It happens. Like, and this is how the women are being treated in America.
Listen, that's, you know, insane. You have said so much in such a short amount of time, and there's so many different directions that we can go with this, because this isn't a uncommon story at all. Exactly how you started it, the women are abused like this on the outside and then on the inside across the board. I haven't talked about this, but my wife's niece just went through a thing. Very similar, and she ended up ultimately helping him cover up the murder of some girl, and just she's going into the system right now. She might get lucky She's been in it for a while. She's lucky. God, what does that mean? She might just be kept or held over for ultimately just helping with, you know, she's not really involved in it or anything, and so she's probably not going to spend the rest of her life in prison.
Accessory,
something like that. They're still dealing with the what's that?
Yeah, it's terrible. I mean, and, you know, so many people are in jail for ghost weight, and you're probably wondering what ghost weight is. It's when they get somebody to say, oh, that person sold me 3 ounces of whatever, and they don't actually catch you with it. But they, you know, they take that person's word for it. And, you know, a lot of the time these snitches will just, you know, gas these stories up because they want to get out of trouble and they want, you know, a free ticket out of jail. And, you know, if you're busting people on the corner of the block that are selling dope, fine. But my problem is when, you know, these confidential informants are going to people in recovery and trying to pull them back into a lifestyle they're fighting every day to stay away from. And, you know, it's not justice, it's entrapment. You're feeding off of people's mental issues. You know, addiction literally rewires your brain to make that substance as vital as water. Like, it's not, nobody wants this life. Nobody.
What you're saying is that it's a health issue, not a criminal issue. And that's the way it should be addressed. And it seems like it's turning that way in some places over some things. But that's the problem. It's the entirety. This is not a problem with which drug it is or where it's happening at. This is a problem with the system. This is a problem with the system that preys on individuals and makes them literally, this is what you're talking about when you're talking about an informant, literally makes them victims, criminals of a political and social opinion, something that some person somewhere decided they didn't want you to do, didn't want you to participate in, didn't think was right for you and the people that you're involved with, decided to make that a crime and then enable a bunch of thugs in clown uniforms with plastic badges to go around bullying people and locking them in cages.
Absolutely. And, you know, when I was the psych medications are a big problem, too. Like, I'm high functioning autistic, but I have been through just about every diagnosis on the board. And medications put me in psychosis. I was in solitary hallucinating. I was back in my old apartment and I had a female sergeant telling me to kill myself. When I got out, she was in the paper for telling another inmate to kill themselves. And they had to cut that inmate down from a suicide attempt. This is what they're doing to people with mental health issues. And, you know, this is all for profit. You know, we made $5.25 a month, working 40 hours a week in there. And, you know, you're probably wondering why. Well, a hospital saves $350,000 a year contracting their linen to be washed by inmates instead of paying people a minimum wage. You know, they are cutting every corner. This is all for profit. We had inmates fighting wildfires in California and risking their lives for pennies a day. We had inmates moving dead COVID bodies without PPP. You know, I woke up every day during the pandemic going, thank you God I'm not in there right now. But I had friends that were in there, and they were made to clean up COVID-contaminated areas with no PPP. You know, and there's a reason why all these jails across the country were taking out PPP loans, the money that was supposed to go to the people, and expanding their jails and expanding their prisons, you know, for more beds and for more wings so they can pack us all in together and it's more of a free workforce. They don't want to pay us minimum wage. They want to put us all in prison and have a free slave labor force. There's a, you know, the seventh grade, you know, they make them do those seventh grade reading tests. It's just to find out how many prison beds are there they can, you know, put down for that generation. You know, we have more prisons than we do colleges. And this is supposed to be the land of the free. We make up 25% of the global incarceration population, and we're 5% of the world. We have more people in prison than the entire continent, and they want to gaslight us to the land of the free. Like, I was in prison with all the female vets that were thrown away by the military because they stood up to their rapists. Like, this country is a joke. It is
That's
such
a huge thing all of a sudden. That's blown up everywhere. Everywhere I turn,
yeah,
I'm seeing
it. Yeah, because it's a big problem. Women are getting, you know, brutalized in the military. And then these military men will come back over from their assignments and sign up to be guards at the prisons and then do the same thing to the female inmates. And they're not doing the same thing to the men down the hill. The women are the first to go hungry when they screw their budget up. The women are the first to always suffer, because who do you want to deal with? A bunch of nonviolent, low security women, or a bunch of, you know, gladiators, you know, that are, you know, in maximum security that will kill you if you tell them, you know, you're not going to get fed.
Oh, my God. It's a crazy situation that we find ourselves in, where we have this impression that America is such a great place, and that policing is such a good thing, and that the laws that we have are there, and that they've been tested by against our freedoms, and they haven't been. They haven't been. The things that they use as an excuse to turn us into slaves for their system, to wash their linens, to clean up their dead. It's a system that starts. You mentioned it, the education. We're getting ready to go into a break. We got a couple minutes, if you will, just touch on what you meant by what you said about the testing for in seventh grade, about how many beds to plan for in the future.
Yes, the school kit. I can't remember what the testing is called, but every seventh grader has to take, you know, reading comprehension test. And, you know, it shows their reading level, and it goes into a giant database. And basically, that's how they know how many, you know, prison beds to expect for that generation.
Everything's a metric. You've been in the system, so you know, you've had some lawyer or DA or somebody come up to you and show you a metric. It's a chart. And it's just this way that they do it all the way across the board. Everything from bail to once you're locked inside the prison, about how much money they can make off of you based on how much time they can keep you in the system.
Yep. And, you know, when you go to prison in the feds, if you don't have your high school diploma, they make you enroll in the GED. That's great if you don't actually have a GED or high school diploma. But what's happening is the prison gets like $2,000 for every inmate that enrolls in the GED, and another $2,000 every time they graduate. So we had women with bachelor's degrees being forced to take the GED because they had no way to get their high school diploma as proof. This is what the taxpayers are paying for. Women are being forced, they've already been to college and have doctorates. They are being forced to take the GED and walk out of prison with that because it makes the prison money.
It's just everywhere. There's nothing untainted, but there's no system, there's no process where these scumbags haven't completely monetized and militarized and turned it into a playground for them to rob, rape, and murder the rest of us whenever they feel like it.
Yep. And, you know, here's the other thing. People love to say, inmates get free health care. The doctors don't even need a license to work there. All the doctors in prisons, like 60% of them in Alabama, have had their medical license revoked by the medical board and have, you know, malpractice suits. Those are the doctors that are hired in prisons. And let me tell you something. I watched so many women die of very treatable things. I mean, one girl broke her leg shoveling snow, and by the time they took her to the hospital, they had to re-break her leg because the bone had fused back together. I mean, it's disgusting. I've watched inmates perform minor surgeries on themselves and others because we could not get health care. They would not do anything for us. And then they'll charge you $5
That's
for a
insane. Mandate. Hold that thought. We got to go into a break. We'll be right back with Elizabeth Nakatowicz on here on Toward Anarchy.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. But I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
Don't become dependent on the medical system. Get and stay healthy naturally with Extendivite. Metals in the liver cause peroxides to get dumped into the bloodstream. Peroxides do more damage than free radicals to the arteries, and the LDL has no protection from peroxides, causing the LDL to get stuck in the arteries, creating a potential blockage. Extendivite slowly chelates the metals away from the liver so it can dispose of what was meant to be a harmless process, peroxide. Extendivite's seven herbs has a job to strengthen the organs and circulatory highway. Can you afford a heart attack? Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Subscribe to the Freedom Times monthly newspaper, published since 1985. That's right, 1985. The Freedom Times pulls no punches and observes no sacred cows or taboos. The perilous times we live in are too critical for anything but honest discussion of America's plight. The Freedom Times is the antidote to the lies and distortions of the fake news media. There's no better way to inform and enlighten Americans than by reading the Freedom Times each month. New subscribers may sign up at the special rate of just $29 for 1 year or $55 for 2 years. Subscribe online by going to AmericanFreedomNews.us or mail your subscription to The Freedom Times, P.O. Box 218, Wildwood, Pennsylvania, 15091. That's The Freedom Times, P.O. Box 218, Wildwood, Pennsylvania, 15091. Support America's best patriotic newspaper and one of the very few left by becoming a subscriber to The Freedom Times today.
Oh.
This is Toward Anarchy on the Republic Broadcasting Network, with your host Michael Storm.
Do me a huge favor and support the network, support Republic Broadcasting Network. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. There's a couple easy ways to do that. Right over on the left-hand side, there's a donate button. Just click it, put in your info, whatever you can do. Simple as that. If you don't like the electronic thing, you don't like messing with the credit cards across the internet, some people are still that way, pick up the phone, call us, and we can help you out with that. There are other ways to donate. There are other things that can be done. One of the best things that you can do is click the Shop RBN button or go to shoprbn.com, and that's that win-win situation that I love so much. All the fantastic people who sell their services and products across Republic Broadcasting Network, you can buy those services and products there at shoprbn.com. Excuse me as I choke to death. Go to towardanarchy.com and you can follow along with my guest, Elizabeth Mikotowicz. She's a victim of political and social opinion. There's a link there for she comes out the other side of this. If you're listening to this conversation, you believe this is just insane because I talk to you about stuff like this all the time, but I'm not a woman. I haven't been in a woman's prison. I really don't have the authority to speak on the specifics and the details, but I can tell you about the system that puts people in this position, that uses the things that they do. And so it's great to get a look at it like this. But Elizabeth comes out the other side of it, and we'll get into that a little bit before the end of the show here. And we'll talk about her environmentally friendly clothing brand with her own original artworks on it. There, you can see one of those pieces of art at towardanarchy.com. Look for May 14th and scroll down there. There's a beautiful koi fish, just a fantastic painting, and just one of the pieces of art that you can find on her clothing and participate in that journey, that healing journey that began some time ago inside this prison system, this insane thing that you just keep telling us it just keeps getting worse as you talk about it. There's no, so far nothing's gotten better. It started out bad, it got worse, and there is there a light at the end of the tunnel? Is there something that we can do? What have you been doing to work with people to try to change that, to help people that are already trapped in this system?
Well, I'm so glad you asked, because honestly, my success the last 5.5 years was due to a policy change. Janet Mills took over in Maine for Paula Page. And while Paula Page was in office, when I got out, I had $1,300 worth of psych meds the prison had me on and no way to pay for it. So I spiraled very quickly on probation. And they told me that if the only way I would qualify for health insurance was if I was pregnant. And I'm like, I'm just trying to get okay enough to be, you know, with my other two children who are already here. So I ended up going back to prison for probation and wrapping it up. And while I was there, they hired me to paint murals in the prison. I also tried filing a PREA complaint against Somerset County while I was at Alderson. They forced me to strip in front of cameras under duress and threat of being maced, extracted, and met with violence. Like, you can say no. I've heard a lot of people say, oh, well, I'd refuse. Well, you will be met with a 12-person SWAT team, all in tactical gear, electric shock shields, batons, mace, and they will hurt you. So I was forced to strip in front of these cameras. I filed a PREA complaint, which stands for Prison Rape Elimination Act. It doesn't really do you any good. When Alderson got the complaint back from Somerset County, they wouldn't even allow me to hold it. They read it to me and told me I couldn't have a copy of it. So this is how they're burying the abuse, because when you get out, you have 100 days to file a complaint, you know, against an institution. So without the paperwork, without proof, I went to the Freedom of Information Act and everything, and they could not find this complaint. So when I got out, the captain and four of his subordinates at Alderson were all convicted of raping and stalking inmates. Over a dozen inmates pretty much came forward. And yeah, he only got 10 years for assault, for raping several women. And so this is how they bury it. They just don't give you the paperwork. And I requested my paperwork from Somerset County, and they're still refusing. They told me to get a lawyer to subpoena it, and I got a lawyer, but you can't subpoena anything without an open case, and you can't open a case without the paperwork. So they know this. And by law, they have to give me the paperwork, but there's no consequence if they don't. So this is the bill I'm working on now, and it needs to be across the board because these jails are covering for each other. I want a bill on the table that holds these facilities financially accountable for every day they stonewall an inmate on their paperwork. You know, there needs to be some sort of consequence for these institutions not following the law. And right now there isn't. But I worked with Maine State representatives, and they did just pass a law in Maine mandating all jails provide feminine hygiene, both tampons and pads, free of charge. And yes, that is a problem too. Women will make their own tampons and get themselves infections and make themselves sick because they are so desperate. And, you know, when they do have tampons on the commissary, they'll jack the price up like $8, you know, for one tiny little box that costs you like $3 out here. And, you know, they make their money off us that way. Like a package of ramen noodles that costs 25 cents out here costs $1.50 in there. So, I mean, they are just, you know, extorting us on every level. You know, and you're going to buy it because otherwise you won't have soap. Otherwise you won't have shampoo or deodorant or, you know, the little things that you need. And so once Janet Mills came in and took over, I was able to get health insurance and I was able to continue therapy, trauma counseling. I was able to get MAT treatment when I needed it. And then I eventually got off of it. I really had to face my trauma, you know, before I tackled my addiction. And, I really do, you know, have to accredit Janet Mills for that because, you know, if I hadn't had, you know, the insurance, you know, I probably would have been back out self-medicating again because I wouldn't have known what else to do. And it was just that simple policy change for me that made all of the difference. And so, I mean, it really does matter who is in office and, you know, who is making these laws.
I wish I was surprised that trying to get hygiene products or the normal things that you should be able to get inside provided for you are a game nasty, dirty one at that. That's kind of dangerous when you're talking about things like hygiene products for, you know, not just for the individual, but for everybody else within the system because of all the things that can come with hygiene. I could say I was surprised at it.
The game became go up to the biggest, most masculine male guard and make him feel as uncomfortable as possible. Mm. Because some of these women will literally be like, I don't care, go ahead, bleed on yourselves. Like, they think it's funny. And, you know, these male guards just don't want to deal with women menstruating. So they will go and get you, like, enough, more than enough for everybody, like, as soon as you, like, make a big deal about it. So, I mean, that becomes the game. You have to, you know, get over it and make a man feel uncomfortable about it, which no woman should have to do.
No. And that's just one step from sort of giving yourself over to one of them as a little plaything. And I imagine that they try to use that as an excuse. Oh, God, I could just so many people in prison and so many sort of scumbags overseeing them. And I could just imagine this repeated over and over again all across the nation. And it's just heartbreaking.
Yeah, well, we're not viewed as human. We're not viewed as, you know, people. And, you know, when people, you view a certain group with no compassion and no empathy and no humanity, you know, that's what happens. And, you know, one of the worst things I had to come to terms with, you know, this was before Trump filled the ICE camps with all the refugee women and you heard about them being sterilized against their will. I met a handful of American inmates that had been sterilized against their will, and not a single one of them was white. And, you know, now it's all of a sudden it's a great day for white lives everywhere with the overturning of Roe v. Wade. Like, they are committing genocide. They are still committing genocide.
They always have. That's what the abortion centers are. Where are the most places where you can get an abortion located
in
at?
Black communities.
Not in the white neighborhoods.
No, and it's the white women who are shamed and heckled and everything else. I've never heard a black girl talk about how, you know, when they went to get an abortion, there was a picket line of Christians telling them they were going to hell.
Or just even going in for women's health care and having to deal with it.
Right.
My wife and I have dealt with that before. Just these crazy people with signs just one step away from assaulting you because you're going in to get health, women's health care.
Right.
And I'm literally not talking about an abortion. I'm talking about other services offered.
Right.
Literally.
Yeah, it's disgusting. But the other bill that I got passed with the state representatives, there's a huge homeless problem up in Maine. I mean, it just exploded with the last couple of years. And these landlords were charging these outrageous application fees. I mean, we spent over $1,000 just applying for these landlords to tell us no. And what they were doing is they were getting 10 applicants a week, $100 per person in the family, and they were getting three times the rent and not actually renting the apartment. Like, you know, they'd have 70 people look at this apartment and couldn't get one tenant in there. So I brought this to their attention. I'm like, this is free money to them. They are driving the homeless, you know, problem up. So they passed a bill that says you can only charge an application fee if a lease is signed. And you know what? That's fair. Okay. You know, if a lease is signed, cool. But this whole, we're going to charge you an application fee and a processing fee and not even rent the apartment because it's free money and we don't even have to turn the heat on or water on. You know, this is why America homeless problem is, you know, skyrocketing. And now they're criminalizing homelessness. You can't even feed homeless people without getting a fine in some cities now. And this is what they want to do. Their plan is working. They're going to arrest all these homeless people and they're going to put them in jail and put them to work.
Work. Yep. I don't know if anybody... There's a lot of people listening live across the network right now that know this story, but they've never necessarily heard it from someone with such an inside view of it. We're all very familiar with this corrupt system, but this is such a stark light on how it continues. The thing that amazes me is that we put up with it. That we would ever accept that this is a thing. And you said, you mentioned it, that you'd had some conservatives, mostly across Republic Broadcasting Network. Listen up. You've had conservative women tell you what about your incarceration?
They told me if I don't want to get raped by cops, I shouldn't go to prison.
There's so much wrong with that. There's so much
exactly.
wrong with telling somebody that, let alone even believing that that's a real thing. Do you think that the person who said this to you really truly believes that? Do you think that they're that bad of a person?
Right, yeah,
clearly
yeah.
there are.
Yeah, and you know, it's like with Trump's case. You know, Stormy Daniels. The only reason she didn't win is because she used to be a porn star. Because of our past, it's like we don't hold value or we are, you know, less than and deserve abuse. That's literally how these people think.
Well, you get so many problems, especially when you're talking about it from a women's point of view, because for one thing, women are still objects in our society. We still haven't got past that idea that they're their own people. I don't know if we'll take any calls or not. We don't have a lot of time left. I didn't mention that we do this live, so we do get some calls. But what does he want to ask? What's he want to know? And then we'll see if we really want to talk to him or not. Okay, he'll let me know what he's talking about. So we have a bigger problem. It's a much larger problem because we still live in this society where women are considered objects. We still have weird things like marriage ceremonies, which is still harkening back to a point where, you know, men, white male landowners are making deals for their property.
Yeah, and, you know, you see the laws in Florida and, you know, Texas rolling back. They're trying to get rid of no-fault divorce.
I've seen a couple of things about that, yeah. Homeless issue.
Yeah.
Art wants to talk about the homeless issue. That's what he wants to talk about. We'll give him a minute to ask a question. Why don't we drop Art in here real quick? I don't always take calls. It can go haywire sometimes. Art's in Georgia. What's up, Art?
Hey, Mike, it's been a long time. I have a solution to the homeless problem. I was homeless for 33 years, but it was by choice. I did it because I was addicted to the lifestyle. But there are a lot of people who don't want to be homeless. And I have a solution to the problem. It's just getting people in power to listen. And this is, we go to every major city in the world, in the country, and there are how many abandoned buildings? Start a program.
There's
come up
29
with a way to
empty properties. There's 29 empty properties for every homeless man, woman, and child in America. It was 3 before the pandemic.
Is that right?
So what you do is you start a program where these buildings are converted into apartments, but each person will work on his own apartment, and at the end of the restoration, they get to rent that as their home. And now they have a trade. They can actually go and find work.
That's a neat idea.
Then you have to teach these people how to do that. Like, people don't know just how to properly build houses so that they're up to code.
Fair enough.
That's why you work with construction companies to create this program to teach these people. And they work on their own home.
Well, it's one of many possible solutions and ways, and I think it's a fantastic idea. I love the idea of helping people rehabilitate by helping them provide for themselves, because they can see the value in it. I think it's a fantastic approach. Thank you for your thoughts there, Art. I appreciate it. It's good talking to you, my friend. It's been a while. We just have a few minutes left, so I didn't want to get too far off onto that particular part of the conversation, because I did want to specifically focus on the fact that you have come out the other side of this. Ultimately, you're a stronger person for it. You're a more knowledgeable person for it. You're more an active person for it. You're working to make some change, but you're also doing something for yourself and something for the environment in the terms of creating art. And one of the things that I love to talk about on this show and to people that I love to talk to are artists, creators, people who have found a way to make their art work for them, not just emotionally and in their own lives, but bring in a little dough too.
So I found this company called The Gallery over the pandemic, and they create this beautiful clothing line for artists, and you can put your artwork on it, and it comes in plus sizes, so it's very inclusive. And, you know, as women, we have skinniness and beauty shoved down our throats from the time we are little. We are taught that our value, we are only as valuable as we are skinny and pretty. And, you know, a lot of these brands out here, you know, size their clothes really small, and it really feeds into body dysmorphia issues. And I was so happy with this brand, because when I ordered a small, it was actually a little bit big. And, you know, it's not going to feed it. It's not going to affect people's, you know, eating disorders, you know, body dysmorphia issues. And, you know, everything just fits really well. It doesn't matter what kind of body type you have. You know, there's really something for everybody here. And, you know, I have it being sold in a couple stores up in Maine, and I'm trying to get it down south and get it into hopefully a big department store.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's really cool. I actually I found a company like that, and in Italy, I think, is where they're at. and they do shoes, and I've designed a couple. I never actually went to print with them because they are a premium thing. They're a little bit more expensive than I think is realistic for most people to be trying to buy shoes, especially when I don't have an example of them. You can jump on. You can use your own original art. There's lots of places doing this right now and giving people like yourself and myself a creative outlet and a way to turn that into a little bit of income. That'd be really cool if you were able to get your stuff into a store. Are you talking to somebody yet? Or?
Well, I just took a bunch of workshops on how to get your brand into a big department store. So I'm doing my research before I attempt it because I don't want to go in, you know, completely ignorant of what I'm supposed to do and who I'm supposed to talk to. So,
gee, you sound like a self-made woman. I wonder why. Well, you spend enough time relying on other people and systems and having them let you down. Eventually, you think a little bit of anarchy might be what you need.
Yeah, absolutely. We're definitely in some need of some anarchy.
That's fantastic. It's really great talking to you. I hope that we'll get a chance to talk again because I think your story is fantastic, and I'd love to see where it really ends up in the end. Well, at one point you mentioned something about you're still going through the process of trying to get some of it. You're still in this. You're not really out of it yet.
No, I am still healing. I have days I can't leave my house because my anxiety is so bad. Mm. There are nights I still wake up screaming. I mean, I think I'm going to be on this healing journey for the rest of my life. But, you know, if I can put an end to it and get these people held accountable and, you know, prevent other people from going through it, I guess I feel like it would make it worth it in the end.
Man, I really hope it works out. You seem to be on top of it, and it seems to be going in the right direction. And I think that will be a big relief to you in as far as mentally and physically, the weight that it carries on you. I think you'll find a wonderful home around these parts because we talk a lot about healing and about your own power in healing and taking control. My conversations I have a monthly conversation with Dr. Dean Lloyd. He's a friend of mine. He's a naturopath and a real doctor as well, if you must. He's you know, spent years on his little journey, and he's helped many, many people along the way with their journey, and especially people like yourself in particular who are aware and who are actively working for themselves. So many people are just completely clueless to the pain that they are suffering. Yours was obvious. Yours was kind of laid out there.
Right.
So many of us are in pain in other ways and in the same ways in a lot of ways because we're being let down by the people and the systems, the things that we've been told are so important and so trustworthy, when what we really need to do is believe and trust in ourselves a little bit more.
Yeah. Well, we're all under this, you know, illusion of white supremacy that, racism's over and everybody's equal and everyone has a fair chance. And, you know, it's just not true. I'm also making an adult coloring book for trauma, and I'm including all of the coping skills that helped me, you know, along my journey. There was a style of art called Zen Tangle art. It's like meditative doodling, so anybody can do it. Mm-hmm. So I almost have that done, and I'm going to get that published. And I'm also in the editing stages of my memoir. So if you guys want a detailed account of my journey through prison and healing,
It's on the way. Well, that is so great. Thank you so much. Please stay in touch. We'd love to talk to you again sometime soon. And for everybody else, go to towardanarchy.com. May 14th, you'll find the links. You can find more about Elizabeth, and we'll talk to her again soon. And the rest of you next week. Take care.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.